Well, I'm thankful tonight to be back at the house of the Lord. Thankful to for the good message that we heard today. I'd like to tell Brother Miller that I appreciate the plain truth. That's simple, that all can understand. I pray that those that were lost here today, that message will carry on with their hearts and minds tonight, wherever they might be, that the Lord would deal with them and they truly could be born again. I'd like to welcome our visitors here tonight. You know, it reminded me, when we pulled up in the parking lot, Kathy said something that when I first started preaching, Cody one Sunday was at the house, and we come to church, he rode in with us, and he kind of looked around. When we got in the parking lot, he said, said, how come when Papa preaches, there ain't nobody here, and when Brother Moran preaches, the parking lot's full? I couldn't answer that the first night, but I was able to tonight. I said, they've heard me preach before. But no, I'm thankful for each and every one that's come out tonight and ask that y'all pray for me. You know, I can do nothing without the help of the Lord. You know, I'm totally dependent on Him. He gave me some thoughts and some scriptures to read, and I pray that the Lord just preach me tonight. I'm thankful that, you know, you get anxious and you really think about getting up and preaching, and it just kind of anxiety builds up, but it seems like when you get up here and stand by, it's just a peace that comes. And I pray that the Lord use me to His honor and glory tonight. I'll take a reading lesson from the 12th chapter of Luke. And Jesus said, beginning at the 22nd verse, y'all pray that my voice holds out and I don't get the cough, and I've had a little trouble this week. But 12th chapter of Luke, the 22nd verse, and Jesus said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. Said, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much are ye better than the fowl? And which of you, with thinking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of double mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and our Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, and a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As a thought, I'd like to look at Book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, and 24th verse. It says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And as I looked at that verse today, I noticed that Jesus Christ, that in the Christ, it had an apostrophe S. It's talking about what is personally His. And you know, I know that in Colossians, it says that all things were made, created by Him and for Him. You know, all things are His. But you know, as I thought about that verse today, I got to thinking about the teachings of our Lord. And I got to thinking, even in our reading here, He told us not to think, take thought of our life or what we'll eat, or not to what we'll put on, what we'll be clothed with. He instructs us not to lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And I got to thinking about that. And many places through Jesus' teaching, He teaches that. And you know, He even taught it with His life. You look at Jesus' life. When he was born into the world, He wasn't born into a big mansion someplace, a palace. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger. You know, you think about His, even as a young child, He and His family fled from Herod and went over to Egypt. They had to get away. Herod wanted to kill Him. You know, when they went to down in Egypt, I'm sure that all they were able to take is what they could pack. You know, I'm sure that it wasn't easy down there for them. And then when Herod died, they come back and went to Nazareth. And here Jesus growed up in the house of a carpenter. He worked for what He had. And then when He come of age, He went out and went to preaching. You know, Jesus, He said that the foxes have dens and the fowl of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay His head. You know, I'm convinced that the things of Jesus that He's talking about here are not the riches of this world. You know, He could have come into the world and lived in a palace, but He wasn't concerned with the things of this world. His concern was an eternal concern. He come into this world, His concern was for lost humanity. And you know, this verse here talks about Jesus Christ, what He is. And I thought about I believe it's talking about the church. That's His. And the mission that the church is on, to spread the glorious gospel. You know, those things are Jesus's. And that was His main concern. When He come into this world and He did all this, He wasn't concerned with the riches of the world. You know, He had walked long distances to preach to one woman at a well. You know, His concern was for lost souls. Jesus, you know, a lot of times when the devil took Him out and tempted Him, He took Him up on the mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world. And He said, bow and worship Me. And He said, all these will be yours. That's not what He come for. But you know why He answered Him? He answered Him with the Word of God. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and Him only shall you serve. You know, His concern wasn't of the riches of this world. We look when He lamented over Jerusalem. He looked down on Jerusalem and He wept. You know, He wasn't crying because the temple was there and they didn't want him there. He wasn't crying because of the building, the palaces and all that, but he was weeping for the people there that he longed to gather as a hen would gather his chicks under his wing. You know, I'm thankful tonight that Jesus wasn't concerned with the things of this world, that his concern was the eternal well-being of mankind. You know, I'm thankful for that when he, one day that as an 11-year-old boy, that he looked down, he longed to gather me in. And you know, he called me to a place of repentance and granted me that faith to trust in him. You know, I'm thankful for that. So I think what Paul's writing here, the Philippians, he's talking about Jesus' church and what's his. What really matters to it. All is Jesus, it's the whole world. But things of this world are going to pass away. But those things that Jesus do and the people he saved, they're eternally alive. I'm thankful for that tonight. You know, as I was thinking about that verse, I thought about the way the world is today, the things that are going on in the reading that I've read, how that I go to work and sit down in the break room before we start work, and about any place you wanted to listen, you could hear somebody talking about the economy and what they've gained or what they've lost. It's all lost, I think. But shortly ago, the 401k statement come out, and they talk about how bad things are. And you know, in Hebrews, the writer talks about the God of this world blinding the eyes of them that believe not. That the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should not shine through. And you know, there's a lot of that going on today. People have got their eyes fixed on what's the earthly things and what good they might gain or what they might lose. You know, one day after a while, all the gain that man will have or all the loss that they'll ever have, it'll come to nothing. It'll be nothing. But that Jesus does, that's eternal. That's eternal. You know, I thought if anybody here that's not saved tonight, you know, a few verses above where I took my reading lesson, the 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus gave a parable of a rich man that ground brought forth plenty. And then the man said to himself, you know, I'll paraphrase, I won't read it, but he said, my barns won't hold all that I have. What shall I do? He said, I'll just tear them down and build me new. And he said, then I'll just sit back and say, he'll eat, drink, and be merry. You know, a lot of people today are really concerned about just kicking back and eating, drinking, and being merry. What the gains of this world is. You know, people a lot of times have a life insurance policy, you know, and that make it easier on their loved ones that they leave behind. You know, I think that's kind of backwards. Really, that's a death insurance because it pays off when you dead. I tell you, if you want life insurance, you have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's life insurance. And so that pays off in this life, and it'll pay off when we do pass through this world. You know, but this rich man, he said, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. You know what God answered him? He said, thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of you. You know, that would be a sad thing to come to the end of the life, end of your life, and no matter what you had. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, what would it profit if a man gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would he give in exchange? You know, he would give everything, but he'll have nothing. All that he ever had will be of naught. It'll mean nothing. But there his soul will be eternally bound in hell and separated from God. in his love. You know, that'd be a terrible, the flames will be terrible in hell. I can't even imagine. But to be totally separated from the love of God, you know, we can't imagine that either. That'll be a torment. The rich man, he was able to look into heaven, I believe. And I'm sure he could see the love of God and the love he had for his children. But yet, here he was in the flame, weeping and gnashing. You know, that's a sad state to be in. But you know, not only the lost or those that haven't been saved get sidetracked with things of this world. You know, even us that's saved, we get sidetracked. I think Paul was very aware of this. You read the 7th chapter of Romans, and one place he says, that I would do, I do not. And that I would not do, I do. He was talking about a carnal warfare between his flesh and his spirit. And you know, we all have to face that. It's easy for us to get caught up in the things of this world. You just watch the news for a little bit, and it has an effect on your mind. You get to think, boy, things bad out there. I better do something with my 401k because it's gone. You know, and maybe you ought to. I don't know. But that's not the most important thing in life. You know, Paul in his writing to Timothy, let's turn over there and read that. In the 1 Timothy 6, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Well, that's certainty, isn't it? In having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. You know, Paul's instructing Timothy here that if you've got food and clothes, God providing what you need, that's enough. That, you know, if we're serving God, and especially we're serving God and God's blessing us, we can be happy with almost nothing. God will provide what we need. And we need to strive for that, to live godly and be content. And that's great gain, Paul says. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, here Paul, I think, is telling Timothy that there were some that evidently they had some faith. I'd say they probably saved some saved people, but they got to coveting after riches of the world. And Paul says there that they pierced theirself through with many sorrows. And you know, we can do that. We get out of the will of God and get to chasing after other things. And if you're a child of God, sorrows and trouble will come your way. You know, that's how God keeps us in line. You know, the Bible talks that God chastises his children. And you know, we each and every one ought to be careful of trying to not focus on the things of this world. I'm preaching to myself, people. I had trouble with this. Yes, I do. You know, you think you got to work, got to make money, got to do this. But those things are going to pass away. We need to be focused on things that Jesus is concerned with. And that's the souls, men, women, boys, and girls. Reaching those that are lost that we can. You know, I think in the Old Testament, we got a great example of the people of God getting away from God, getting out of God's will in the book of Haggai. You know, these people were taken into captivity in Babylon, and I imagine the whole time, I don't know the exact years that they were there, but imagine the whole time they were there, they were longing to be back in their homeland, back in Jerusalem, and be worshiping, doing what they want. Well, you know, King Cyrus, he sent a decree out for them to go back. Some of them go back and build the temple. And they went back and they started building on the temple, got the foundation laid, and here come the old devil, throwed stumbling blocks in their way. There was some neighbors around that Cyrus had died and another king had come, and they wrote letters saying, if this people build up the city again, said these people, they were rulers at one time, and they took taxes from other people, and they didn't pay taxes. They took it from other people, and if they get this city built, they'll be back to that. They'll be wanting everybody else to pay taxes to them. So that king made a decree that they stop a work, and the work stopped for a little while. You know, the devil does throw stumbling blocks in their way here and there. But you know, that king died, and that stumbling block went out of the way. But then the people, they just kind of got complacent in where they was at. And they got concerned about their gain, their houses. And they didn't go back to building the temple of God. And just, let's read here. And then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and my house, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, you have sown much and bring in little. Boy, don't that sound familiar? You listen to people talking, they talk, boy, I invested a whole bunch, but boy, look, it didn't come to nothing. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Boy, it seems like you can sure do that. You get out there and get your paycheck, and just a little while, it'll be gone. But you know, if you honor God with your substance, somehow you'll have enough. I believe that. Amen. I believe that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, we all need to consider our ways. You know, I'm not thinking and trying to, a night before I lay down, to kind of think over the day and reflect on what went on and see what's hay, wood, and stubble, put it in a pile and see what might little be gold, silver, and precious stone. You know, we ought to long for that gold, silver, and precious stone to be piling up. Do that God would have us to do. And leave off the wood, hay, and stubble. You know, Israel here, they got in a bad way because they were neglecting the work of God. But God gave them opportunity. He said he'd be with them. Go back to building it. And he was. And he did help them. And you know, they got to building it. And we hear a lot of times of how things used to be. And there was times are different than how they are now. I remember even in my youth having 11, 12 saved in a revival, baptized. And you don't see as much of that anymore. That's not God's fault, people. That's not God's fault. God's arm, not short, that he can't save. You know, but you hear people talking how it used to be. And here these people got to looking at that temple that's building. And they said, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? You know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that the world's going to get better and everything's going to be rosy and 6 months, 8 months, a year, I fully expect things to proceed downward. I think the Bible teaches us that. But, you know, when the world gets in trouble, and there's nothing in the world to turn to, you know, the church has got the only hope to hold up to mankind, for mankind. They've got the only hope, and that's the Lord Jesus. You know, we aren't, as a church, when people get to hurting, we get an opportunity to tell them about the love of God and about Jesus and that Jesus saves. And, you know, I pray that we take advantage of that opportunity. You know, y'all pray for me that I will. I work with people that, as all of us do, that I'm sure that don't know God. You know, I had a guy come to me the other day, and it just kind of dismayed me. He asked me, he said, "What's the red letters in the Bible for?" And I told him them the words of Jesus. I said, "Read them." But you know, there's people out all over that way. And you know, what's Jesus is the church and the work he left his church to do. That's what we need to be busy about. You know, but this temple that they built, it wasn't near what Solomon built. You can go back to 1 Kings and read about Solomon's temple and the beauty that it had and the gold, and it was just magnificent. I would venture to say they never been a building like it on earth. I say it was probably the prettiest thing ever built, would be my opinion. But God said that the glory of this later house shall be greater than the glory of the first. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about Jesus going to be in this building. He said its glory would far outshine the building that Solomon built. I tell you what, we've got that same promise today that Jesus will be here with us. The glory that we can have in this church can far outshine anything that the world has to offer. All the riches, all the gold, all the fame. The glory of our Lord Savior Jesus. You know, I pray that we will uphold Jesus. God draw all men to him if we do. You know, Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the hope for mankind. In these troubled times, in good times, in all times. My Miller, that'd be my message.